All right, anything. Say anything.
Anything.
Anything. Here we go. All right, Mark chapter 11. Over the next several weeks through the end of May, I'm going to finish up my study in Mark. And so we come to this passage, Mark chapter 11. It's a great passage. It is a wonderful passage. And many of you know the passage. It has befuddled scholars. In fact, this passage, some Bible scholars come to and they say, Jesus didn't really do this. He didn't really say this. It was actually added later. And they say it that, I guarantee you, they say it because of their own experience or their lack of experience. And so it's this story of Jesus cursing a fig tree. And the reason they say it's, that wouldn't have happened. I mean, how is it that Jesus could raise people from the dead? He could cast out demons. They come to this and, Jesus didn't do that. I don't understand that. But some people, for whatever reason, it really trips them up. And so Jesus is walking along here. It's verse 13 of Mark 11. Notice a fig tree in full leaf. It was a little way off, so he went over to see if he could find any figs, but there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Now, this is where it trips him up. So it wasn't time for this tree to bear any fruit. He looks at the tree and said, "May no one ever eat your fruit again!" Exclamation point, emphatic, imperative. So disciples heard him say this. Next day, verse 20, next morning as he passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. People remembered that Jesus, what he had said to the tree the previous day, and exclaimed, "Look, look, teacher, look, rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." And Jesus responds, "Look, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea." Whatever the mountain is, you can say to it, "Go," and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. Say anything.
Amen.
Now say anything like a question.
Anything?
Yep, that's what he says. Anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now look, here's what most scholars do. Or many scholars, they take this passage and they say, here's what they could do with it. What do you think the fig tree represents? Like that's the main issue of the story, you know? It's not. The main issue of the story is this whole thing of anything. You can say to anything. But because they get lost in what he said here, they try to kind of defer back. Well, what did he mean by the fig tree? Well, he just meant, maybe all he meant was fig tree. Maybe he was just mad, you know, a little angry, a little ticked off. Maybe that was it. There's no fruit here. Be cursed or whatever. Speaks to it. I don't know. But they get wrapped up in that. That's not the point. The point is Jesus says you can say to anything, whatever you want, anything, if you believe, you'll receive it. Now, if this were the only time Jesus had said something like this, most people would say, well, here's what they do. We're not sure what he meant by that. That's just a way of saying, this is making me real uncomfortable, and I don't want to go where I think this is going to take me. Okay? That's what they're doing. But Jesus didn't just leave it there. This was towards the end of his life, last week of his life, he said this. Well, along with this, he said these things the last week of his life. Now turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And then we'll look at chapter 15 and chapter 16. Again, these are the words spoken the last week of his life. John 14, verses 12 through 14. I tell you the truth. That's the way Jesus is saying, I am being really serious now. Look, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can do greater works. Turn to someone and say, you can do greater works. I didn't say that. You said that, okay? Jesus, beyond that, Jesus said that. You, Randy Paul, sitting in the very back right there, you, Randy, you can do greater works than Jesus. Amen. You can ask for
anything.
Anything. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, you can ask me for what? Anything? Anything. And my name, and I will do it. Now, to emphasize that point, turn to chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Again, all of this is the same discussion. He didn't stop. He's continued the same train of thought. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much good fruit. Amen. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in me, you may ask for
anything.
You may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. That's crazy. He said it, though. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. You see, God wants you to produce much great fruit. That's why he says, I'll give you anything. Because when much fruit happens, it brings glory to God. People are like, wow, God did that? I'll give you a story here in just a minute. The lady, the first service. All right, let's look now, verse 16 of chapter 15. You did not choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you what? Whatever. Can you say whatever? That was going to be the name of the message, but anything. Okay, so it was either anything or whatever. Okay, here we go. Same idea. Whatever you ask, you're using my name. Okay, do you get this? Now turn to chapter 16. Verses 23 and 24, I believe. All right. And at that time, you don't need to ask me for anything. You don't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly, and he will grant you your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will what? Receive. And you will what? Woo! You'll have abundant joy. Amen? You'll have anything. You'll have whatever, and it will give you much joy. Isn't it? I mean, it brings you joy when God answers a prayer. Amen?
Amen.
When he answers a prayer, you're like, wow, thank you, Lord. That's awesome. And so we have Karen. It was in her first service. I think Ruffin? What's Karen? Huh? Ruffner. Yeah. Oh, Karen Diz Ruffner come to our first service. And so Karen, last Sunday, we were singing a song. I don't know. It was a song, Alyssa and Stephanie, that really touched her. Or no, it was your word. It was your word about speaking life over dead things. Life over dead things. Karen has had MS for 12 years. All right? Karen's had a lot of physical problems, and she's going to write out her testimony, and one day we'll be able to share that. But just incredible, you know, health problems. But in 98, I believe that's what she told me, God began to do these supernatural changes in her life. So here she has had for 12 years MS. I don't know many people that get over MS. I mean, maybe you do. Do you? Doctor told her, you don't have MS anymore. You don't have MS anymore. Now, here's Karen. Karen, that the doctor told her that in the end of December, sometime in January, sometime that time frame. She was like, that guy, he didn't know what he's talking about. Now, this is at Baylor College of Medicine. This isn't some, you know, well, the local doctors are good, but I'm just talking about the Baylor College of Medicine guys, okay? The guys that just, that's all they work on, people with MS. And so she was like, I'm not sure that's right. So she went back to another doctor, a rheumatologist. He said, no, he's right. You don't have MS anymore. You don't have MS anymore. Now, what does that do? That does, makes her really happy, amen? Makes me very happy, and it brings great glory to God. Because there's no answer to that. It's not like you just take a medicine long enough and eventually get healed. It either happens or it doesn't happen. And there's some other things going on in her life. They're just fantastic. That is the power of God. She's filled with abundant joy. She sees the fruit of God. We experience the joy of God, and God gets all the glory. I mean, that's what he's talking about here, okay? That's what he's talking about. So he talks about anything. So here's what was happening to me. All right, so it's, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago. I'm driving somewhere, and I'm praying for somebody. One of you, right here. One of you in this room I'm praying for. And so it was something, and it was like one of these situations. Somebody's going through it, and it's really hard. It's really bad, and it seems like they make these steps forward, and then it goes back to the same thing. Make steps forward, it goes back to the same thing. And I'm like, oh, Lord, would you please, would you something? I'm praying for so-and-so. You know their dilemma, Holy Spirit, all this kind of stuff. And I'm praying. Listen, folks, I'm not praying with a whole lot of faith. And then all of a sudden, this statement comes, this question comes across my mind. I'm praying this way, and it's one of these things I've been praying for, you know, a year or two. So it wasn't like the first time I prayed. It's been a while I've been praying for this person. And this thought ran across my mind. Why don't you just believe the whole thing? Why don't you just believe the whole thing? And I mean, as soon as that thought hit me, which I know is the Holy Spirit revealing truth to me, I said, okay, I will. I will. I'll just believe the whole thing. Why don't you just quit playing? This is what I read into it. Why don't you just quit praying like a 21st American Christian who qualifies everything away? Lord, if it's your will, we pray for so-and-so in their marriage. We thank you, Lord, that you are working things out. Give them grace, give them hope, give them peace, whatever. But in my heart of hearts, I'm thinking, I know how bad these people are. It ain't going to work out. And plus, I prayed for other people that had marital situations like theirs, and it didn't work out. And what am I doing? I'm putting cushions all around my heart that says, I'm going to protect my heart because I don't think anything's going to happen here. Why don't you just believe the whole thing? Okay, I'll go there. I'll just believe the whole thing and leave the mystery to him, and I'm going to be okay with it. So when that little 2-year-old Gabby that we prayed for, I think y'all prayed for, Gabby Lopez, one of my airmen's daughters who has terminal melanoma cancer, I'm just praying, believing for her healing. Because I know what Jesus would do. It's not a mystery. It's not like, what would he do in this situation with this little 2-year-old? Would he let her die or would he heal her? Anything? Anything? Little Osuelo, 6-year-old in Freeport, has terminal brain cancer. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? He would heal him. Then I'm just saying, okay, all right, we're going with it. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to heal this boy. Thank you for that in your powerful name. You're making all things new. And then here's what some of us are going, well, what if he doesn't? What if it doesn't happen? I don't care. I'm just going to leave the mystery to God. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm not going to try to answer. I know there's God's will. There's the devil's will. There's human will. There's all these things that are kind of intermixed. I'm just going to go to him as a child. Why don't I just believe it all? And just go with that and leave the mystery to him. Now, within this praying, there are several qualifications. Let me see, Darren, if you got this down. Okay. There are qualifications. Okay, here they are. 3 qualifications. He says, for have anything, you have to have these 3 things. Okay, these aren't on the notes. You just have to go with me here. You have to pray in Jesus' name. Okay, say in Jesus' name. We'll get to that in a minute. That's what today's message is about. Secondly, you have to remain in him and his words remain in you. That's what he says. Remain in me and let my words remain in you. And then finally, what he says in Mark 11, we'll get to in a week or two. He says, you got to truly believe. You have to truly believe. So those 3 things. So what does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? So when we pray in Jesus' name, what do we mean? Well, most of us, we just think it's the zip code, right? It's the zip code at the end of the letter. We're just making sure it gets the right place. That's it. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess it went to the right place, right? That's what we do. So what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? Well, here's what it is. It has to do with authority. Here's what it is. It is power of attorney. It means he has made you power. He's given you power of attorney. How many have power of attorney with parents or siblings? Raise your hand. Okay, power of attorney. Many of you have power of attorney. What does that mean? Y'all tell me, what does it mean to have power of attorney, those that have it? Huh? You act in their place? That's right. Huh? You have authority in their place? That's right.
Legal authority to make decisions on their behalf.
That's good, Eric. That's y'all are all saying the right stuff. Legal authority to make decisions on their behalf. And so, when you make those decisions, what's going through your mind? What's the best for them? What would they do? What would they want me to do? Okay, what would they want me to do? I want to do what's best for them. And so when it comes, when we pray, we're saying, I'm praying what is in Jesus' best interest, what he would want me to pray. See, a power of attorney means a person legally authorizes another to act on his behalf. It usually is understood that the person with the power of attorney will always carry out the desires, whether directed or implied, by the grantor. In other words, you will carry out his will. And so Jesus is saying, look, I've given you power of attorney here. I'm not on earth anymore. Did y'all know that? Jesus isn't on earth anymore. All right? If anybody says Jesus is on earth today, like literally on earth today, they're crazy. That's it. Period. But he is on earth today, spiritually in us. All right? And so he's given us the right. So he's up in heaven, and he's given us the right to act on his behalf. So we act on his behalf, we speak on his behalf, and we can pray on his behalf. Jesus isn't praying prayers anymore on earth. You are. In his name, you're praying the prayers he would want to be prayed. You're acting in the ways he would want to act, us to act. This puts prayer on a legal basis. Understand this. This is a legal basis with God. When I go to God and I come to him in prayer, I'm praying as though Jesus is praying. I'm asking for, I'm doing something on Jesus' behalf with his full authority and with his weight behind me. Look, folks, prayer is more than just bearing our heart to God. Oh, God, you know, the situation, it's really tough, Lord. Yeah. It's more than that, okay? It's carrying out the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's what prayer is. I'm carrying out the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. All right, again, Darren just put these up, so I'm not sure what that at signals up there for, at sign. Okay, let's read this together as best we can. When we pray in Jesus' name, it is though Jesus is praying. There, we'll pray. When we pray in Jesus' name, it is as though Jesus is doing the praying. Jesus is asking through your lips. Amen. Good job, okay? You did. Okay. Good job. When we pray in Jesus' name, it is as though Jesus is doing the praying. Jesus is asking through your lips. Okay, that last sentence is a good sentence. He is asking through your lips. How did Jesus pray? You see, that's the big question. How did he pray? Did Jesus pray the way you pray? Honestly, if you would compare, write down your prayers for a week. Write down your prayers. Just write them down. Write them down. And then read how Jesus prayed. What's going on here? We got way too many words. That's right. You want to know, Jesus' longest prayer is John 17. That's an entire prayer. It's a whole chapter. It is a great prayer. And so it is an intercessory prayer. He prays for us. He literally prays for us right here today. He prays for us. And so part of it, he's praying for the disciples, then he prays for the ones that would follow the disciples. But you read that prayer, and then you pray. How did Jesus pray? How did Jesus pray for sick people? He prayed with authority. Be healed. That's a quick prayer. Yeah, he spit. He did. He spit in some people's eyes. He made mud with his spittle and put that in their eyes. He did some really strange things. We know that. But when he prayed, he just said, you know, sight. He just said, be healed. He said, just little girl, get up. These were quick, authoritative prayers. Read the Lord's Prayer. Y'all say it with me, okay? Y'all say it with me, everybody. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Okay, stop right there. Time out. Okay, stop right there. Okay, so we got that part. That's sort of the intro. We're going straight to the Father. Now listen to how he prays the rest. Your kingdom come,
your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Okay, time out. Time out. Okay, here we go. Those are all in the imperative. The whole thing is in the imperative. Imperative, Richard, imperative is, hey, shut up. Okay? That's the imperative, okay? It's a command. It's a command. Be quiet. You know, whatever. Smile. I don't know. But it's just a command, right? Kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's imperative. Kingdom come, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, read the next, say the next part. Give us time out. It's in the imperative. It's emphatic. Give us this day our daily bread. Next part. And forgive us sins. We forgive those who... Guess what that's in? Imperative. Emphatic. And what's the next part? And lead into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay? It's in the imperative as well. But when we pray, are we praying like that? Most of the time it's not. It's these mumbly, kind of weak, milquetoast prayers. Oh, God, would you? I'm so sad. It's so bad. Everything's awful. That kind of, I just don't see Jesus praying like that, okay? I just don't see. Yes, we see David praying like that, okay? We do. And sometimes and we hear Jesus on to his Father. Father, if it's your will, take this from me. I mean, he's asking. This is going to be tough. You know, my God, why have you forsaken me? You hear the agony. You feel the pain. But he didn't stay in those places. Read how Paul prayed. You see that they prayed differently than the way we pray today. So praying in the name of Jesus means I'm praying with his full authority, the full authority of heaven behind me. Whatever is done by the attorney, again, I've already said this, kind of must honor the grantor. Let me kind of run down some things. I want to get to one more point. So as we determine what is the will of God today, okay, here's it. So how do you pray the will of God? How do you pray the will of God? You know what his word says, and what else? Oh, that's good. I forgot about that one. Two. Yeah, Holy Spirit leads you. The word, the Holy Spirit leads you. There's another one. What would Jesus, how did he do it? Let me ask you something. How many lost people does Jesus want saved? How many marriages does he want restored? How many sick people does he want healed? How many people that are bound up in demonic or just in addictions or whatever? How many does he want set free? All. Well, see, those things are his will. How much does he want people to walk in joy and peace and love and hope? How much of the time does he want people to walk in that? All the time, all the time. I mean, these songs we sang, all the time. That's what he's always... So we know these things are his will. So when I come to him in his name, I'm asking myself, how did Jesus pray? What did he pray? As I listen to him pray. I'm going to jump around here, sorry. His name is more than a title, okay? It is a weather system. His name is a weather system. Wasn't it great to wake up this morning? It was cool.
Yes.
Okay. Right, Keith? You don't like cold weather? Sissy. All right. It's great. Well, you know.
I'll be saying that when it's 95.
Boy, it's 95. You'll be happy. But it was great to kind of come outside and to feel the refreshing. A weather system came through, right? Guess who else carries that weather system? You do. Everywhere you go, you carry the weather system of heaven with you. In the name of Jesus, I'm carrying the weather system right now. I'm the representative of Jesus on this planet. What I say, what I do, how I pray will change the atmosphere. It changes everything. You are carrying that weather system, okay? Talking about Cody that was down front here in the first service. Cody and about 20 guys. Well, okay, Daryl, you're here. Okay, so Daryl's a part of that group of guys. You guys, 20 guys or more. And y'all work with, what, he said about 600 guys or something? Yeah, it's just construction workers. These are tough guys. And here these 20 guys are. They're carrying the weather system of heaven. And they're changing their environment. Things are different. I guarantee you take Daryl and Cody and those 20 guys, take them out of that environment, what's it going to look like? Hell on earth. I mean, it ain't going to be pleasant, okay? It's not going to be great. But because they're there living out their life, praying and being a witness for Christ, doing things in the name of Jesus. And look, you don't have to say in the name of Jesus all the time. It's not about, like, did I say it in the name of Jesus? Okay, it's just understanding the power of Jesus. We don't have a magical formula here, all right? We don't do that. But walking and operating in the power of Jesus, they're bringing change wherever they go. And the same is true for us. I want to say one more thing and I'll be done. This. How many of you have sports jerseys? How many have sports? Okay. Who is on, Autumn, who's on the back of your sports jersey? Do you know? Who? Tebow. Great guy. All right. Who else? Tell me. Hopkins. Watts. Huh? Prescott. Okay. Dax. You're a good lady. I like you. All right. Very good. I like Dax. He's awesome. Very good. So, we got Dax Prescott, we've got Hopkins, who did you say, Autumn? Tebow, well, baseball, football. Oh, you got both. You got both. You play for the Mets, that's funny. Anybody got a Harden Jack one, you think? Y'all got your red on, no Harden? Just Rockets today, okay. Very good. So, we got all that stuff. Do you ever think, like you go to a Texan game, and you've got your Hopkins jersey on. Do you think Bill O'Brien's going to say, oh, Hopkins, come on down. We need you on the field. Did you ever think that? Oh, really? You would, though. You would, right? No, because why do we have a jersey with the name on the back of it? Why? We're representing them. Okay, that's it. You're a fan. You're a fan. You're a fan. That's all you are. You would never get down and play in that game. You say, well, I think I can. Oh, no, you couldn't. You'd get killed, okay? You're not going to do that. It would be funny, though. I would say that. It would be funny. You get down there, you get slaughtered. Because we're just fans. But guess what? Everybody in this room that's a follower of Christ, you got a Jesus jersey on. And guess what? You ain't a fan. You're in the game. You're in the game. You're not just watching. You're playing the game. In the name of Jesus. That's what changes things. Amen. Let's stand up. Here's what we're going to do. All right. Okay. Keep that one up there. You ask the Father in my name, and I'll endorse it. And the Father will give it to you. Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Take about 30 seconds here. Based on what you know about Jesus, both in words and his actions, how would Jesus pray for your greatest need? Your greatest need, how would he pray for it? And now I want you to pray for it in accordance. And so today, Father, all these needs that are lifted up to you, we want to move our prayers from complaining and whining and declaring the problem to begin praying in the name of Jesus. We want to know, we want to learn, so show us, Holy Spirit, how to pray with that power of attorney. How to get in the game and play the game. And quit making excuses and quit letting others, you know, get ahead of us and play the game. We want to be in the game fully. We're tired of other people being highlighted because of their great faith. We want to be people of great faith. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're leading us into truth. Amen. You're leading us into truth. You're showing us as a congregation how we can see more of your kingdom come and your will be done. I thank you for that, Holy Spirit. I pray, Holy Spirit, now today that you would, as been said earlier, increase our vision, increase our understanding, as Keith prayed earlier. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say one more thing and then we'll be dismissed. It's this. As a congregation, we are believing for more than 400 in average Sunday morning attendance, okay? It's not a numbers thing. It's a life change thing, okay? I mean, you look around here, last Sunday was great, it was full and all that, praise God. We are insincere, we praise God. But now you look around. And what's true here is true in every congregation. There's empty places. And that doesn't need to be. There are people that need to be changed by the power of the kingdom. Amen. That need to encounter the Father's love. That need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They need them. And so I want us to come into agreement as a congregation for that number. And that's just a starting number, okay? Over 400 in average Sunday morning attendance here at Willow. And then you pray that for First Christian Church that meets there, First Baptist, the Catholic Church, whatever life-giving churches, you just begin to proclaim it to those places as well. The other thing that I want to do, and Maisie and I have got this in agreement, and I want the rest of you to join in agreement with us. I want us to pray that Willow Drive will become the most generous church in the community. Amen. That we will give away, what is it, Maisie? Millions. That we'd be able to give away $1 million, even more. That we'd be able to give away over half of our income that comes here. So let's just pray that, just believe it. That's God's will. I mean, they're talking about shutting down some kind of program at Beewood, kind of industrial arts program or something like that. I'd just love to be able to say, you know what? No, you're not. We want to keep that thing open. We're going to fund it for a year for $100,000 or whatever it's going to cost. And wouldn't that bring glory to God? It would bring glory. It'd bear much good fruit. Workers would come from that, bless the community, and people would see the glory of God within a congregation. Amen. So those are the two things I want us to stand for. Most generous church, over 400 attendance by the end of this year. I'm going to put a date on it, by the end of this year. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to do this. We're going to end. If you need prayer, Landra will be down front. Keith's going to be down front as well. If there's any other prayer team members, y'all be available, and deacons. Turn around, okay? Turn around. Look at the back of the person. Okay. Very good. Okay, here's what I want you to say. It's kind of goofy, but you'll remember it, okay? Say, hey!
Hey!
You have a Jesus jersey on.
You have a Jesus jersey on.
Go be Jesus this week. Amen. Amen.